Your sexual core gifts are the language of your authentic sexuality. When you know those parts of yourself and you can name them and understand them, your sexual experiences will be so much more filled with love and connection and safety and amazingness. So stay tuned to this episode of the Deeper Dating Podcast to learn how to name and understand your sexual core gifts.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Deeper Dating Podcast. I'm Ken Page. I'm a psychotherapist and a coach and the author of the best-selling book, Deeper Dating, the creator of the Deeper Dating Intensive, and your host in this podcast. And today, we are going to talk about sex, and specifically about how you can discover your sexual core gifts. It's a very exciting and important subject, and we're going to be looking at sex, I think, in some very, very different ways that are pretty exciting. So I just want to say first that in this episode and every episode, I am committed to sharing with you the greatest tools and skills and insights that I know to help you find beautiful love and keep it flourishing and heal your life and your heart in the process. Because the skills of dating are nothing more than the skills of intimacy, which are the most precious skills in the world. And if you want to learn more about the deeper dating path to deeper intimacy, just go to deeperdatingpodcast.com, and there you can join my mailing list. You can get a wonderful free ebook with the 5 keys to deeper dating and tons more resources and tons more connection with me and with this work, and a transcript of every one of the 190 something episodes of this podcast that we've done. So I'm so glad you're here, and let's jump in. So, sex is such a key player in so many different ways, and our core gifts live there. A therapist who I had once said something so interesting. She said, we were talking about sex and my sex life, and she said, sex is like an x-ray into your being. Like, what you see about how you do sex and how you are in sex is such a metaphor and also such a kind of like a reflection of how you are in life and in your relationships. And that is so true around the subject of core gifts. Because it turns out your sexual core gifts, the things that are your unique language of sexuality, the places where you are the most beautiful and amazing and connected in sex, reflect similar qualities in your overall entire life. And at the same time, the things that make you go numb in sex, like kind of disconnect from yourself and play a role, or think you can't be you, or think, I'm not going to say this, I'm not going to ask for this, I'm not going to share this, I'm not going to express this, capture the very same kind of things that outside of the bedroom or wherever it is that you're having sex, that these same qualities live. They reflect them in profound ways. And the places and the ways that we get wounded around our sexuality are so connected to the ways that we get wounded around our essential self, our deepest nature, our most vulnerable parts, our most tender and sensitive parts. One is a mirror of the other. That's something that we don't really get taught. And what I'm going to talk about in terms of that mirroring is this concept of core gifts, as I help you in this episode discover your sexual core gifts. So for those of you who don't know about this concept of core gifts, you can look at most of my Deeper Dating Podcast episodes, and I'm going to link some particular episodes right here and here that specifically talk about core gifts in your life.
I'll be right back after this. If you're interested in accelerating and deepening your search for love, I want to invite you to a very special project, the Deeper Dating Intensive. I only offer it twice a year, and it's a 6-month journey working closely with me and an amazing community to transform each member's search for love. And you can learn more at deeperdatingintensive.com. And if it feels like a match, on that page, you can set up a free one-on-one session with me to explore possibilities. I look forward to connecting if this speaks to you. Welcome back.
So instead of thinking of yourself as someone with strengths and weaknesses, you can also think of yourself as someone with gifts and wounds. It's a lot less binary, but it turns out, and this is this kind of miracle of the way the world was built and the way that we were built, the things we're most embarrassed to share reflect and show our deepest gifts. For example, maybe we feel like we're too intense. And there's shame around that. And we've gotten in trouble around that. We've been too intense. We've hurt people's feelings. We've asked for things that people can't give. We've asked for things and then got really beaten up or shamed for that. So we develop a sense of like, that part of me is not good. But there's deep, deep passion in that part of you. And your core gifts lie there. And in fact, the places of your deepest insecurities reveal your greatest gifts. And the work that we do in this deeper dating path is to recognize those parts of ourselves where there are kind of the most nerve endings in our being, where we feel the most joy, the most aliveness, the most connectedness, the most pain, the most anger, the most anxiety, are the places where we have like kind of the most nerve endings in our being, where we feel the most and we register the most. And our tendency again and again, which is supported by a lot of thinking, is that we feel ashamed of those parts of ourselves instead of excavating and saying, what's the deep and profound soul gift inside this thing that I feel embarrassed and ashamed by? For me, the very qualities that I felt the most ashamed of and hence hid in my search for love were the qualities that when I finally embraced them led to the wonderful relationship that I have now, this treasured relationship. And the shame that I had around those qualities for so long is what led me to a lot of self-hate and a lot of pain and a lot of dead-end relationships. This is this cherished concept that in the center of your being, the parts that maybe feel so tender and so vulnerable, your greatest power and your greatest gifts lie. And when you become organized around honoring them, expressing them, being curious about them, giving them a voice, giving them meaning, giving them images, you become the empowered you. And so much changes. And this is true about sex too. Like if you think, and this is just one example, we're going to go through a process to help you. And you just go through this while you listen. You know, you don't have to, you could be doing whatever you're doing. Just answer the questions to yourself as you go along. And when we're done, you'll have a much richer sense of your precious sexual core gifts. Okay, so one of the questions is, and I'm going to guide you through a process in a couple minutes, but just to explain, one of the questions is, what parts of yourself in sex do you feel timid to reveal? Or have you felt timid to reveal? Maybe you don't now. Shy to reveal. Maybe shy to even admit to yourself, much less to another person. These are qualities then that are shadow qualities, which sabotage us until we embrace them, to put it kind of simply. So the stuff you don't express in sex is totally connected to your sexual core gifts. And the rediscovery of that is a huge, huge process and a very, very valuable, precious thing. Okay, so let's jump in now. I'm going to give you some questions for you to answer. And as you answer them, this will help you be able to identify some of your sexual core gifts. So we're going to have some fun with this. And I'm going to ask you questions and you just think of the answer. And I'm super excited to think about what this is going to mean for you. So I want to start with this section by reading something from my book that I think captures something important. As terribly as we've been trained around dating, our training around sex has been even worse. Few of us have been taught how to handle our lusty sexual exuberance and our secret sexual desires in a healthy, non-destructive way. And few of us have been taught how to use sex to share our deepest tenderness, our very soul. And God knows almost none of us have been taught how to embrace both simultaneously. So the great majority of us come to a compromise. We don't let ourselves go all the way with our tenderness or all the way with our wildness during sex with someone we love. When we show one side, it's often hard to show the other at the same time. All of us fall into sexual patterns where we enjoy sex, but somehow avoid the heat of the heart of our deepest vulnerability and desire. Most of us deep down are both wilder and more tender than we allow ourselves to reveal. And sex is an amazing place to reveal both of those. So the first question that I want to ask you to think about is, you know, safety is the basis of play. Play happens best when we are safe. And play doesn't have to be, you know, a low vibe thing. It can be an exalted, glorious, wonderful thing. Play is like one of the heightened states. My mentor, John McNeil, wrote a whole book about play as one of the highest states of being. Because when we feel trusting, that's when we can play. So this trust piece, question number one for you is, in sex, what are the things that make you feel safe, like really safe? So I'd like you to just think about that. You could pause the recording or you could just take a moment, you know, as I'm talking and think, what are the things that make you feel safe? They may be clear boundaries. They may be a sense of the other person's goodness and care for you. They may be a sense that you could say kind of pretty much anything that you want and you will be met with acceptance. It may be a knowledge that you will protect yourself by setting boundaries, saying what feels good, saying what doesn't feel good, not keeping yourself silent when you need to say something about what feels right or doesn't feel right. Or maybe it's that the other person feels safe in those ways. But just take a moment to think about this. What are the things that make you really feel safe to be able to play, to be free, to be wild, to be tender in sex, to show your soul in sex? So that's the first question. And it's a super important one. And it's like the question to start with. Because the other questions can't really occur in an atmosphere where there isn't that sense of safety. So a couple things I'm going to say here are, when people are really high on drugs, on alcohol, sexual desire comes forefront and emotional safety, health repercussions, all of those things, concern for the other person come after or don't come at all. So that's like one of the risks of being really intoxicated during sex, one of the many, many risks. So that's safety. What makes you feel safe? And it's individual for different ones of us. And if you've had trauma, that understanding of what helps you feel safe is such a key thing to work on. I was talking with Mike Moran, who's a good friend of mine and a very wonderful sex therapist and couples therapist. I had him on the show, and I asked him at one point, this is what led to my inviting him onto the show, was I said, what's interesting you most in your work as a sex therapist? And he said, it's that even people with real trauma around sex can actually have wonderful connected sex, that they can hit a circuitry where they can do that, and they can, even with the trauma that they have, that they're able to have beautiful, wonderful sex that really feels safe and feels good. And he said, that's what's most amazing to me. And you know, he's of course developed lots of techniques to help us do this. So yeah, safety is number one. Second one that I want to ask you about is, what really like touches your heart in sex? Think about that for a second. Like, remember times when in sex, maybe something was touched where it was more than sex. Your heart was really touched. Maybe you started to cry or shake or feel a sense of joy or exaltation or delight or deep love or any one of a million things, because sex is powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful as a glue between two people who love each other. It's powerful in terms of the harm that it can do. And it's powerful in terms of the healing that it can do as well. And your sexual and romantic core gifts come out when you feel safe and have tremendous, tremendous power. They're such an important part of your beauty and your essential self. So that's the question. What moves you? What moves you in sex? What deeply moves you? Take a minute to think about it. Like, have memories of times that you felt safe and really moved in sex. What was it? Was it the way that your partner was looking at you? Was it what you were feeling? Was it like a mystery? A dear friend of mine had an incredible sexual experience with his partner, and his partner, something amazing happened that they couldn't put words on. And his partner wrote a poem about it. He called it, "What Was That?" So yeah, think about that. Think about the things. Think about what kind of pacing makes you really kind of feel connected to your heart. What kind of ways of being touched? What parts of you and what ways of being touched really touch you, really move you? What are the kinds of connections with a partner that when you're sexual together, your heart feels really moved? These are all indications of your sexual core gifts. Those places where you're really moved speak to your core gifts and what they are. So just think about that for a minute. Think about, like, are there any common themes here of the kind of things that move you in sex? If there are any common themes, what are those themes? How might they point to a deep gift of yours? Because the things that touch you the most deeply come from your core gifts. Those are your core gift places. You may not have thought of them as core gifts, but for example, let's say you have wondered about your sexual response and you've thought, why is it that it is so difficult for me to feel really sexually connected? Then you think about this and you think, okay, what makes me feel safe? And then you think, what makes me feel really touched in sex? And then you think, oh, when those things happen, that's when I feel the most sexually connected. I haven't known how to put words on those so that I could ask for them. I haven't had words to put on them so that within myself, I could say, oh, right. Yeah, that's like moving into a place that doesn't feel right or safe. It's not bad, but I know what I need to say. I know what I need to ask for. And God knows if it is bad that, you know, we want everybody to be able to really fiercely protect themselves against any sexual experience that feels toxic to them. We should never have to go through that. Or let's say, moving out of the toxic section here, you realize that if you just had more eye contact with your partner, or if your partner touched you in a certain way, or if your partner touched you in a certain way and you had eye contact, oh, that amazing thing would happen. That connection of sex and soul and spirit and heart can happen. And that's your gift zone place. So we're going to build out the names of these core gifts shortly. But that's the next question. The first question is safety. The second question is what moves you and touches you. Once you really know these things and are comfortable with these things, then it's time to move on to a third question, which is very different, but really connected, but needs the foundation of the first two questions. What really turns you on? What really sparks your desire? What makes you feel really hot? Really excited, really sexually engaged and excited and in that zone. And this is like a brave question in another way, because it's scary to admit what really excites us. Maybe we feel like it's too kinky. Maybe we feel like it's too vanilla and typical. But whatever it is, these are ours. And they're so important, and it's a really important act of liberation to be able to claim this as well. This shadow part is so important because when your intense excitement is mixed with safety and love, that's sexual paradise. So yeah, think about that. And it's something that I really invite you to reflect on deeply and in many ways. This admitting to yourself what's really exciting, what really touches your heart, what really turns you on, what really makes you feel safe, all of these different pieces, it's a very radical thing to admit them. And I think that some people in some environments can feel really free to talk about what turns them on and what's exciting to them and what they like, but maybe not so free to talk about how they can share their deepest heart in sex or be really touched or really vulnerable. Other people can share that more frequently, but when it comes to kind of what really, really turns them on, what they fantasize about in secret, that's harder to admit even to themselves or to another person. And holding the two together is just a magical, fabulous thing. So these are the three questions that I invite you to think about. What makes me feel truly safe? What touches my heart? And what excites me? And now, I'm going to ask you to think, if these things are so, now that you know some more of what makes you feel really safe, what really touches your heart, and what excites you, how would you frame what some of your sexual core gifts are? The places where you are alive, connected to your heart, connected to your sexuality. There's a sense of goodness. There's a sense of freedom. There's a sense of wildness. There's a sense of play. Who are you at those times? Because that is also a reflection of like the you that you're meant to be in some ways. Everywhere, maybe obviously not in the specifics, but in the spirit of that space. That's like the you you're born to be. So I'm just going to bring up these questions from chapter 11 in the book. So remember a time that you experienced, and if you've never experienced this, imagine it, a time that there was a feeling of both intimate love and lust fused together. The experience of sex fused with intimacy, whether you just imagined it or you've experienced it in real life, captures one of your most central sexual core gifts. It's your portal place, I'm reading from the book, a place where you can connect to your sexual magic. In this place, your sexuality and your heart play together. So remember a time or imagine a time. And what words capture how you feel when these two pieces connect for you? Or how you imagine they would feel? Is there an image, piece of music, piece of art, anything that captures that feeling? Another question is, which is a very deep one and for another episode, do you suppress this quality in yourself, in your sexual and romantic life? And if so, how? Is there shame around any parts of this? And what would it be like if instead of shame, there was honoring, delight, seeing and recognizing the gift and championing it, of course, in ways that are mutually safe and respectful? What kind of sex deprives this core gift place in you of oxygen? And what does it feel like when that happens? And in your life, has there been anybody with whom you felt safe revealing that part of yourself? And if so, just take time to appreciate that memory. Even if the relationship wasn't right, remembering that gift of it. And now, see if you could just find words that capture this sexual core gift of yours when it is allowed to be. If it was loved into fullness and allowed into fullness and free to really be fully expressed, put words on what that gift is. And how might that be a reflection of who you are meant to be in your life? Because sex is an X-ray into our whole being. And imagine what it will be like or would be like or could be like to be in a relationship where this part of you was celebrated and allowed and that it was mutually done. How fabulous that would be. Maybe you're in a relationship where you could work toward that. Maybe your next relationship will allow that. Picture that. Because it's something that is, you know, very wonderful and something that you really deserve. So here's the other fabulous thing. The more you can name your sexual core gifts, like your core gifts in any arena of your life, the more that you can name them, the more that you can step into them, the more that you can be embodied in them, the more that you can find a language to express your needs, your desires, your heart, and your soul around these core gifts. And with all of that, the more you will become allergic to situations that take oxygen from this, and the more you will magnetize and be magnetized toward relationships that allow this beautiful, beautiful dimension of yourself to be able to unfold. So I just want to say that these are big, big, broad concepts. And if you are interested in diving in deeper, there is the book. There's my book, which is a course in a book. There's the online course, which you can also find at deeperdating.com. The book you can find at Amazon or anywhere. And there's my 6-month intensive, which is a small group experience for just 12 people. And if you're on my mailing list, you will get to hear about it. I'm now actually filling the next 22nd cohort of the Deeper Dating Intensive. But in any case, I hope this was useful and valuable to you, and I hope that you learn in deeper ways to treasure, name, and understand your sexual and your romantic core gifts. So thanks so much, and I look forward to connecting on the next episode of the Deeper Dating Podcast.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.